So this month for the Thrill of Hope project, we are actually talking about Peoria Home, but not by talking about Peoria Home. So, and here's why. So Peoria Home is an organization that I'm on the board for, which actually yesterday, Peoria Home declared at least two members in this church angels. I don't know that they could do this, but they did. Angels, I know. They obviously need to talk to you. But yesterday, they needed a couple things for their house to close. They needed railings and stairways off the back. And Luke and I actually just went over there and did it. And so it was kind of cool. It was fun. It takes way more time because we were definitely not angels in our heart by the time that thing was ended. We were more like something else, that's for sure. But Peoria Home is, we're opening a home here in Everett for women who are surviving prostitution, right? Coming out of the sex trade and trying to just redo their lives. Really, just these women have been through so much abuse and so much damage, and maybe it's self-induced, I don't know, but a lot of times what happens is they say about 90% of the women who get into prostitution are controlled by a pimp. So it's slavery. Like, they don't get any of the money. The pimp pockets it all and they take it. And so one of the reasons why in talking about Peoria Home, we're not actually talking about Peoria Home is because, as I mentioned last week, it's when you get into this type of work, what happens is you get so focused in on the work that you're doing, you forget that other people do amazing work in the same area too. And it starts to be like a competition. Well, we do it better than them. And so to kind of fight that, I actually wanted to focus in on other organizations. And so, Luke, if you could do the next slide. This week, I would like to talk about the Alabaster Jar. And you could see there, if you guys want to write down their website. And I'll put it up on the Facebook group a little bit later today. But Alabaster Jar is a group in San Diego. Actually, what they've done with their video series for Alabaster Jar is actually what I'm trying to mimic at Peoria Home. Like, I would love to have a webpage where there's just story after story about local, like very local sex trade. Alabaster Jar, when Mo and I were back in Nashville, there's this lady, gets up and starts talking. I was like, man, I really like what she has to say. I went and introduced myself. And she's from Alabaster Jar in San Diego. And it just like, it was kind of weird because as we'd walk around the city, like we'd run into these people from Alabaster Jar. And so it was Mo's suggesting that we're even talking about them today. And they exist to empower survivors of human trafficking. And they're awesome for a couple reasons. If you'll do the next slide. And I didn't print this off, so I'll have to look it up. But they do a drop-in resource center. So this is where women come in who are still in the life. They're not ready to escape, but they just need resources. And whether those resources are like pregnancy testing or like condoms or like makeup or deodorant, which I probably need right about now, like there's like all these different things that they just provide. Plus they do like support groups where women just gather around and talk about the life, and they talk about wanting to escape and how hard it is. And you know, plug for Peoria Home. We just started ours, and we've actually got a really kind of cool lineup of women that are really wanting to escape the sex trade. It's really, really cool. And so when we open the house, it'll be full instantly. But then they provide like a safe living environment for transitional housing. And what this is this is exactly what we're doing. So their model is what we're doing. They started in a condominium, in a rented apartment in San Diego. They said, we've got a few thousand bucks, we're just going to rent this apartment, and they invited women to live in there. And as they were getting up and running, so they, actually, I like what they did. They were more bold than we are at Peoria Home. Like, they just went and they got rooms, got women out of the life. And so what they do is, it takes like 6 months for the gray matter in your brain to settle down, like from the fight or flight mode. And so like what they do in these transitional housing, it goes in phases, but one of the phases is just settle down, just breathe. Like, you're safe. You don't have to keep looking over your back. This is your house. We want you to be safe. And so in creating the safe environment, you can create, create a new life in your brain, because when you're constantly on the fight or flight and you're whatever that function is in your brain, it needs to settle down before you can actually make life changes in a really sustaining way. And so one of the things they do is do that, and then they provide vocational opportunities through social enterprise. And so I don't know what they're making, actually. I don't know what their social enterprise is, or if they're even up and going yet. So social enterprise is, most of the time, women who escape the life have pretty long criminal records. Like it's a pretty big thing. And so they can't just go out and get jobs, or they get rejected for jobs. And then it's like, man, what am I going to do? Do I have to go back to this life that I just left? What can I do? And so it's discouraging. And so what they do is they create something that the women can do together. And the whole purpose of it is to employ more and more women. They just want to employ as many women. It's not profit is not the bottom line with them. It's just, how can we employ more women? And so they want to make a profit so they can employ more women. And it's really, really fantastic. And then they value a safe environment, providing education, fostering self-understanding, which, by the way, this is one thing I used to kind of be against, this kind of talk, like the self-talk, but I find the Psalms actually dive into our hearts and allow us to know ourselves. And as we deal with God, like part of the self-understanding and personal and spiritual growth is like, okay, like, does God really love me? Like, that's hard for us to learn to trust that, especially if you've been abused your entire life. Like, you need to learn that. And then offering opportunities to work towards self-sufficiency. And so, if you will do the next slide, this, one of the reasons why I love Alabaster Jar too is it's a small church out there in San Diego that basically everything runs through that. Like, it's kind of cool. Like, this church is like, we've got to get involved. We've got to do something. And one of the things they did was start Churches Against Trafficking. I put the website up there for you. And what they do is they have, like, quarterly meetings of all these churches where they do trainings on, like, how does the church help fight human trafficking? How does and by the way, human trafficking is a pretty big deal in San Diego. Like, I mean, San Diego is, I think it's like it's in the top five, like, biggest cities in the nation. It's huge. It's the second largest in California. And it's like over 3 million people. It's really, really big. And the border's right there, and lots of people come across. I actually, I haven't helped traffic anybody, but I know people who have. I know people who have paid people to do it. Like, I mean, it's one of those things where it's actually a really big deal. And so Churches Against Trafficking, I asked, I said, how can I be a part of this? I want to be a part of this. And they're like, yeah, it's just a San Diego thing. So one of the things you can pray about is, I was like, what if we started something like this, where we just gather churches and equip them to actually talk about this in their congregations? Because a lot of pastors, like, are uncomfortable mentioning sex trafficking, like, because you have to say sex. And some of them don't know the ins and outs. They think that all these women just chose this life. And so it would be really cool to see something like this, maybe in Washington, or I like the local idea. And then what you could do is, like, set them up with people in your local area. So if you're a Church Against Trafficking and you're in Seattle, why not REST? Why not some of these other organizations, Operation of Prostitution Survivors? And so it's really cool. I encourage you to check out their website. I encourage you to look and see that. And, you know, as we do, like, our year, our end of month giving thing, if you want to give the Alabaster Jar instead of Peoria Home, I'm totally cool with it. And I think it's awesome. I think what they're doing is awesome. The people are awesome. And what they're doing to really make a dent in that huge community is really, really good work. And so I just wanted to mention them. But if you guys will, pray with me for Alabaster Jar. Father, I thank you for Alabaster Jar. I thank you for the work that they're doing. I thank you for the leadership that they show, just even in the network that Peoria's Home is in. I thank you for the survivors that are a part of that group, Lord, that just really have dedicated their entire life to solving this problem. God, I pray that you will give them wisdom, that you will provide for them. Lord, that you will just be with them in everything that they do, that the women that are in their homes right now will know you, Lord, and that they will get their lives right with you. And so, Jesus, we know that you can do this, and you alone can do this. In Jesus' name, amen.